Alcoholic. And it's good to be here and it's good to be sober. And I want to thank the retreat for giving me the opportunity to serve. It's a great privilege and honor to be asked to speak at anything and one I don't take lightly. And I want to thank John and Eric. He really drew the short straw that time. I come down to Fort Lauderdale and my wife and my kids with me, and he pulls up in his truck and we've got strollers and suitcases that look like the Beverly Hillbillies, pots and pans, you know. And he was so gracious looking after us, and really thank you for that. I just called my wife and told her I'd seen you. And I want to thank John and Ed for picking us up at the airport. I've met them briefly before. I love Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. It's only, we were just talking in the car, and it's like that connection, you know? I mean, alcoholism is a disease of disconnection, and I get connected here in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember the car with the guys, and within a few minutes, we've got that bond, you know? It's the old joke in AA. It is the only place in the world I know that you can walk in the room full of strangers and start reminiscing, you know what I mean? Like, you know, we might have drank together, but when you say an alcoholic, I know enough. I know you've experienced terror, frustration, bewilderment, despair. I know you put a drink to your lips as the tears roll down your face and you drank it anyway. I know that friends and family and loved ones, in my case, on bended knee, begged me not to drink. And for goodness sake, at the end of my drinking, I was drinking against my own will. I know that because I'm an alcoholic. I know that because you tell me you're an alcoholic. And in that, I love AA. Everything else is left. Color, creed, you know, all that stuff doesn't matter. We're alcoholics here. I love the analogy in the big book of the lifeboat. We're survivors in the sinking ship. And we don't go our separate ways. We stay together. And here we are seeing each other after a number of years and connecting again. And for the people that don't know me here, this may come as a shock to some people here tonight, but I'm not from the neighborhood originally, you know? It's quite a few years now since I left my native Cuba. And I'm from outside of Belfast in Northern Ireland. But the Irish, we talk fast, drunk or sober. So I got to really remember this weekend to talk nice and slow. In fact, I spoke at a thing one time and a guy says to me, "That looked like a great talk." I wish it was closed captioned so I knew what you were saying, you know. And it's such an honor to be here. I called my sponsor earlier. I always do it. I called. He said, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm in Florida." He goes, "Oh, you went all the way to Florida to talk? How far would you go to listen?" You know what I mean? Like, you know. And I told him I loved him, which is growth for me in Alcoholics Anonymous, because before I came to AA, I was a bit like the Irish man who loved his wife so much he almost told her, you know what I mean? So I'm really making progress in here. And I'll talk a little bit about my story tonight, but I'm filled with a sense of joy and gratitude. I really am. I mean, I've heard that song a thousand times, but it just moved me there tonight. I feel connected from the moment I got here. I'm a great believer that alcoholism is a disease to disconnection. You know, my alcoholism operates from the neck up. My disease loves me living up in here. Lights, camera, action. You know, I think this whole program and our fellowship and their steps and traditions is designed for one thing, to drag me down out of here where I think the big show's going on, into here where the real show is going on. Alcoholism is the language of the head. Sobriety is the language of the heart. I love in AA, we speak the, John mentioned that earlier, we speak the language of the heart. And I hope this weekend I don't talk to an alcoholic. I hope I don't talk at an alcoholic. I hope and pray I never get up in the spiritual hilltop and talk down to an alcoholic. I mean, what is AA? When you bring it down to its simplest form, it's one alcoholic talking with another alcoholic to remove feelings of differentness and separateness and uniqueness. I am you and you are me. When you talk about you, I find out about me. I was quite friendly with Liz B. back in New York, and Liz would always share. Liz came into AA in 1952. She spoke at Bill Wilson's 20th anniversary, and Liz would always say, when she was sharing, "Without you, there's no me." And that's so true. I mean, if I'm doing A alone, I'm not doing AA. There's a friend of mine said it's BB. I said, what's BB? He says, I don't know, but it's not AA, you know? And my disease does not want me with used people. Our book talks about it. Anxious apartness. It doesn't want me in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. You ever go to a meeting, sometimes you're sitting at the back and you'll hear somebody up at the front saying they're sharing, and they'll go, I sat in a crowded bar and I felt totally alone. And you'll see people's heads going up and down. Can we all get that? There always seemed to be this fine mesh between me and you. Everybody else seemed to be in on the joke. I always seemed to be one step behind. I was never fully connected. Like the book talks about, my ego dug two pitfalls for me. Either I come in too high or I come in too low. Never just right. And Alcoholics Anonymous shows me how to show up in my life today and show up in your life and be responsible and accountable. And the gratitude I have for AA, I mean, there's not a whole lot of options for guys like us. A guy like me, I'm going to go to a jail, I'm going to go to an institution, or I'm going to go to a graveyard. And the sad thing about this disease, by the time you're actually graveyard dead, you've been dead mentally and spiritually and emotionally for years. And anybody who married in your life is long, long gone. Because that's what we do to people. I squeeze till they're like, Paul, go and drink or go and don't drink. But you got to go. You got to get out of here. And I think to myself, we're sitting here today. And we throw the words around happy. Not throw, but we say the words happy, joyous and free. There's a friend of mine says, I'm safe and I'm sane and I'm sober. I'm standing here tonight on a Friday night in Florida, 1,000 miles from my home and my family. And because I'm with my brothers in Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm safe and I'm sane and I'm sober. He put one drink in me tonight, not five, not ten, one. I'm not safe, I'm certainly not sane, and I'm not sober. So it's so good in a life that's uncertain. It's so good to know who you are and where you belong. I'm an alcoholic, and I belong in Alcoholics Anonymous. I've been surrendered by the bottle to the bottle. I mean, A is a funny place. They don't tell you. I probably found out in the first 90 days everything I needed to know in AA. I mean, A is a funny place. They don't tell you 100 different things one time. They tell you 3 or 4 things 100 times over. And I got to hear it over and over again. I learned 2 plus 2 is 4 once in my life. Never had to learn it again. The fact that I am powerless over alcohol and my life's unmanageable, drunk or sober, when I try to run it, that's a lesson I have to learn every day. And I got to hear from you. I got to hear your experience, strength and hope. Your experience, strength and hope. What's the old saying in AA? We all sing off the same song sheet, only with different voices. And if you're new here tonight, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or anything, but if you're new here tonight, I want to welcome you into Alcoholics Anonymous. I want to say this is the best deal in town for drunks like us. You never have to live one more day than the way you are living now that you've come into Alcoholics Anonymous. And I encourage you to get right into the middle of AA. That disease of separation. You know, there's a line in the big book here, and it talks about the old ancient theory of the flat earth. It says in chapter 4. I'm a great believer that the AA world is a flat earth. If you go to the edge of Alcoholics Anonymous, you're going off. And the thing about going to the edge of AA, it's a drift. It's almost a glacial drift. And you don't raise your going till you're gone. And by the time you get to the edge of Alcoholics Anonymous, if there's any signposts, there are the lines you don't speak anymore and the lines you don't understand anymore. Because like I said earlier, we don't speak the lines of the head, we speak the lines of the heart. And I encourage you to stay right in the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. Ignore those negative messages from the brain. Live from the heart out, not from the neck up. And don't think because you're just new in AA, what have I got to offer? I love the fact that our fellowship, we're a fellowship of equals. Our fellowship, it's egalitarian, not a hierarchy. Everyone in here tonight has got worth and value because this is God's economy. And God's economy, there's no broken things. Everything has worth and value. I mean, if you stay around AA for a while, you'll get longevity, but not seniority. If I think I'm better than somebody else because I'm here a few 24s, well, shame on me. So I encourage you this weekend and whatever to get right into the middle of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm just reading in the back of our book, this thing I have on the back of my big book here. Our chief responsibility to the newcomer is an adequate presentation of the program, Bill Wilson, 1942. Thank God for Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob Smith. I don't know if you know a little about the history of AA. But this time, in 1934, Bill Wilson was drunk. Bill Wilson relapsed on November 11th, Armistice Day. We call it Veterans Day. He had got out of his second detox at the end of August, and he had managed to stay sober. This is before AA. He had managed to stay sober to November 11th, and he was over in 182 Clinton Street. And boy, can I identify, he was irritable, discontent. He was walking back the floor like a tiger in a cage. And his wife says to him, why don't you take yourself off and play golf and get out of the house for a while? And he goes off to Staten Island to play golf. And the bus breaks down on the way to the golf course. And they had to step into a bar to wait for another bus to come. And somebody pushed a drink his way. And the funny thing was, he was telling this guy in the bus going down, I can't drink. I take a drink, forget about it. I have been in hospital. He's telling this guy, and the guy standing next to him, they're eating sandwiches. And the guy said, did you not just tell me in the bus? And he goes like, and he took that drink. No defense against the first drink. So I'm thinking how blessed I am. Because at this moment in time in 1934, our lives hung by a thread this thin. Because there had been no AA. I'll be honest with you, I never took sobriety for granted. Always been very grateful for being sober. But I took AA for granted. Like AA has just always been here, like oxygen. And then you hear stories like that. Right now, Bill Wilson was drunk, and as far as he looked in any direction, there was no 12 steps, there was no tradition, there was no firm handshake at the door, there was no coffee pot, there was no literature, no set, there was nothing. He was drunk. People say, oh, well, if it hadn't been Bill and Bob and John and Jim, well, I don't know. For thousands of years, there's been people like us. Societies didn't know what to do with us. There's a book out there called Slaying the Dragon, and it talks about some of the methodology they used on alcoholics years ago to lock them up and banish them from society, that even drill holes in their heads to let the evil spirits out. There's a few Monday mornings I might have signed up for that, you know? Just start drilling here. Do you see daylight over there, you know? And because of Bill Wilson, eventually, thank God, he would get sober on December 11th of 1934. And I'm still a bit of an AA geek. Every December 11th, I'll go into Manhattan, drag along some poor sponsee, and we'll sit in the wall of Central Park there, Central Park West, and look across at that building. It's not a hostel anymore, Towns Hospital. It's an apartment building with a few offices on the bottom. And we'll just sit there. Sometime we get a few guys to go in and have a little gratitude meeting and think about something, because something happened in that room. He talks about a bit of a story. It's the change that changed everything. There's life before AA and there's life after AA. And he had that thought lying in that bed. Surely there must be other people out there like me. I wonder if my experience can help them. I mean, that wouldn't have been my first thought. I must sort of pull the gangplank up. I'm on board. Bill Wilson was other-centered from day one, thinking of others. And he had this idea or a thought of a chain of drunks. One drunk having another. And that's what I'm going to ask myself this weekend. How strong is my link in the chain? Is it strong to the people that went ahead of me? And more importantly, what about the people coming behind me? If someone comes to me and says, Paul, can I comprehend the word serenity? Can I know peace? Can I go to this place you're talking about? Absolutely walk this journey with us. And if you're new here tonight, the wonderful thing about AA, I'll meet you exactly where you are. There's a line I misquoted for years in AA. I would have said, the road to happy destiny. It doesn't say that. It says the road of happy destiny. If you're one day sober, look down, you're on the road with us. And we trudge that road together. And in my story, I don't know why I'm an alcoholic. And to tell you the truth tonight, I could care less. Was I born an alcoholic? Did I become an alcoholic? Was it nature? Was it nurture? Was that a symptom looking for disease? I don't know, and I could care less. I love what our book says. We cannot answer the riddle. We don't get into that stuff. I just accept the fact that standing here tonight that my name is Paul and I'm an alcoholic. But that tells me who I am, it tells me what I am, and it tells me where I am. And the freedom. It mightn't seem much ultimate, the guy who lives next door to me, he likes to have a drink and he seems like a nice guy. But if I was to tell him, you know, I traveled down to Florida this weekend and had a wonderful weekend with a bunch of guys, you'd be like, oh, yeah. But I tell you guys, because you know, at the end of my drinking, alcohol had become the common denominator in my life. Every decision I made was divided through a drink. Even the most going from here to the corner. Is there enough booze to get me there? Will there be enough when I get there? Will there be enough to get me back here? And as you live your life as we do, your life gets smaller and smaller with less people in it. I was sitting in August of 1992, sitting in an apartment, drinking for unconscious time. Everybody's gone. Everything's gone. The blinds closed. The doors locked. Drinking against my own will. And I remember putting that bottle of vodka to my lips. And I catch my reflection in the mirror and I thought to myself, what the hell happened to me? Mm-hmm. What happened to that 14-year-old kid back in Northern Ireland that thought he was going to be the next George Best? Mm-hmm. What happened? Alcohol happened. That's what happened. This disease, my God. The price that this disease demands that you pay. It's incredible. And that's there's a lot of paradoxes in AA. Surrender to win, give it away to keep it. One of the big ones for me is alcohol demanded that I give up everything for one thing. AA says just give up one thing and you get everything. And I'm sitting, it's funny, I was sitting on the plane today and the guy across from me, he's my type of guy, with an 8 o'clock morning flight and he had two little bottles of whiskey. And I'm like, that's sort of like a guy I could get along with, you know, first thing in the morning. And I'm looking across it, and I was like, oh, wish I... I'm saying to myself, when you look at this little drink in the glass and a couple of ice cubes, it looks so harmless, so innocuous. I thought to myself, that brown liquid single-handedly destroyed my life. Single-handedly. Took me down. I threw everything at this disease and came up short. I think of the life I lived. I mean, A is the only place in the world I know that you get to live two lives in one lifetime. And if you're new here tonight, I'm not here to sell AA or sell this program. This is attraction, not promotion. But I'll tell you this, and I don't mean cash and prizes. You can't get where I'm standing tonight from where I came from without AA. It's an impossible journey. And why do I continue to come to AA? I know how the movie goes, but I wouldn't miss it. To see someone walking in that door on the worst end of their life and be given the grace not to drink. And I think AA is so much more than grace. It's mercy. And the best definition of mercy I like is entering into the chaos of another person's life. And back in the August of 1992, when the few people left in my life was going that way, the only people coming this way was Alcoholics Anonymous. And they carried this message. My message might even keep me sober. They carried this message. And what is the message of Alcoholics Anonymous? I'm an alcoholic. I've got a body that won't let me drink, and a mind that won't let me stop. One drink creates a thirst I can't quench. When I control my drinking, I don't enjoy it. When I start to enjoy my drinking, I can't control it. With your help, I say this as a testament to AA, with your help, hadn't had a drink since I got here in August of 92. One drink tonight, destination unknown. That's what showed up here. And these people told me there's a miracle here with my name on it. And nobody could take it from you, nobody could take it from you. What does George Eliot, the writer, says? It's never too late to live the life you're meant to live. That's been my experience in Alcoholics Anonymous. My life's, I'll share over this weekend. Looking for a perfect life. Maybe the guy speaking in the next 6 months, not this guy. I've made every mistake you can make in Alcoholics Anonymous, more than once. But I've hung in there. And it's not easy getting sober. If you're new here tonight, getting sober is probably the hardest thing you'll ever do in your life, except one other thing, drink yourself to death. And the roller coaster goes up and down. Just don't get off. Stay on, ride it out. And through difficult times in sobriety, thank God a good sponsor in my life. Been actively sponsored all through my... I mean, the things that have really been my guardrails in AA over the years, I've always had a service commitment and I've always had a sponsor. Because I've got lost a few, but those two guardrails have kept me somewhat. And a good sponsor, most of my conversations with my sponsor would start with, "You'll never guess what I did again." And rather than say, "Did we not just talk about this last month or last week?" He'll say, "Paul, let's talk about this. Why do we keep going back to broken behavior? Let's take a look at this. Let's put the spotlight on. Let's put the flashlight on it." I need to be actively sponsored. What's the old saying in AA? When you're inside the jar, you can't read the label. I need somebody standing outside the jar who can say, "Paul, it may appear that way, but that's not actually what's happening." What does Richard Rohr say? People don't see things as they are. They see things as they are. And when I'm not talking with my fellow alcoholics and my sponsor, I'm living from the neck up. You know what it's like? It's like living in the fun house. You know, remember when you're a kid and you go into the fun house and you see those mirrors and your body's elongated or elasticated? You don't see things properly. I need that sponsor to say, "Paul, hold on a second. Now take a look." What's the old joke in AA? You got to be careful when the calls come from inside the building. And it's good to know that. It's good to know that I'm not alone today. And I just love the fact here, sitting tonight with guys at dinner and whatnot, talking back and forth, and feeling, this is where I belong. I'm a part of something. I belong in Alcoholics Anonymous. James Joyce has got a great line from one of his books. He's talking about Dublin, but it's so indicative of AA. He says, "Here comes everybody. We're all here. Doesn't matter. When you see an alcoholic, I know enough. I know that we're on this journey together." I'm looking so forward to this weekend and having some time for prayer and meditation and some quiet. I mean, AA is not a solitary existence, but there's times for solitude, and I look forward to them. I'm looking forward to this weekend. I think to myself, from where I came and the price that this disease asked me to pay and to be sitting here today. I bartended the last 5 years drinking, and I bartended the first 12 years in AA. We're talking earlier, I worked in a crazy bar in Rockaway Beach. I worked in a bar, we had a bouncer on the door, but he was there to throw people into the bar, you know what I mean? Like one of those type of places. And I think to myself, and this is purely anecdotal, but this is my experience of working in that bar. Most alcoholics die drunk. They don't even dark at the door of an AA meeting. And why did I get sober? There's a guy in Brooklyn come off a wine gang, Jimmy L. He used to say, God's grace is like the rain that falls on everybody. I don't know why that drop of rain fell on my face in August of 92, and I managed to stumble into AA, and the guy down the bar drank himself to death. That's above my pay grade. But what I do know, all AA's ever asked me to do, they didn't ask me to find a cure for cancer. Can you be the first guy to go to Mars? All AA has ever asked me to do, can you stay sober and try to help another alcoholic? And in doing that, which I don't do perfectly, believe me, I've been so grossly overpaid, it's embarrassing. And paid another Irish writer, Oscar Wilde, said he knew the pressure of everything and the value of nothing. The things that A has paid me in are the things of real value. Like trips down to Fort Lauderdale with my family. Watching my little oldest daughter for the first time walking down Main Street in Disney. Dressed as Cinderella, and the real Cinderella was walking in the opposite direction, and they meet each other. And the look on her face. I was looking for that in vodka. It was bogus. It was counterfeit. It was phony. The real moments, the real joy, is in Alcoholics Anonymous, in the lifeboat with huge good men and women, safe, sane and sober, knowing who I am, knowing where I belong. There's an English mystic said 1,000 years ago, all is well and all will be well. I'm standing here this weekend already in Florida, and I know deep down, all is well and all will be well. And it's because I finally turned up in the place where I always belonged, with the people in Alcoholics Anonymous. I thank you for my sobriety tonight, and I'm looking forward to a great weekend. That's all I'll say. Thank you.